I want to read with you John 15, the verses 12 till 27. John 15, the verses 12 till 27. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. We emphasize the verses 18 and 19 of John chapter 15. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. My dear children, maybe you remember still from yesterday, I hope, what is exactly the world. Yesterday we spoke about the theme, love not the world. I hope that the Holy Spirit has written it in your heart.
that when temptations are coming, you always remember, love not the world. Love not. But when you obey and really don't love the world, then you shall experience that the world shall hate you. That's the other side of the same matter. For when you belong to the world shall love you with a worldly love, love of the world. Totally different from the love of God. And maybe you remember what is exactly the world. The trinity of the world. Do you remember, children? The trinity of the world? Do you remember? The lust of the flesh. I like it. I love it. I enjoy it. What? Is it to the glory of God? Don't you worry. Must I always think, is it to the glory of God? Yes. Then you love not the world. That's your question. That's your goal. That's your delight. Pleasure. Sinful pleasure. And the lust of the eyes. Dad, give me. Buy it for me. Buy it for me. It's so nice. What your eyes are seeing. You want to have it? Is it useful to the glory of God? What a question. The world hates that question. That's not important. Who asked that? Nobody. Nobody? You! Then you don't love the world. You don't want to have it. Only when the Lord permits it. Then you can use it to His glory. And the third, my dear children, do you remember? The pride of life. I want to be number one. The strongest. Most clever one. I want to be praised. People must praise me. You are a good guy. The best I ever met. That's nice. What a nice pastor who says that to me. Pride. Every human heart is full of it. That's the Trinity. Sinful pleasure. Read. Pride. But now we have another accent. For pride, greed, and pleasure cannot really hate you. They become flesh and blood reality in man. The man of the world. Who is that? Who is that, my dear friends? Who is the man of the world? Are you that man? I don't hope so. The man of the world seeks sinful pleasure. Greed and pride. That's his life. His whole life. He seeks it all the time. Everywhere. In his religion. In his faith. In his entertainment. At school. In house. In family. Everywhere. That's the man of the world. Never anything else. Did you ever see what Nathan said to David? You are that man. When the Holy Spirit brings His light and love in your heart, then there comes a deep grief.
"Mom, what's the matter, my child?" "My mom, I'm such a sinner." "What are you crying, my boy?" "My sin, my pride, my delight in sinful pleasure, my greed. I'm totally sin." "Oh, that's nice." "The angels rejoice in heaven when a child here is crying because he's sin and feels his need of a savior. Love not the world. May you don't belong to the world. You hate the world. There you see it. You don't hate persons, but you hate what they are willing, what's living in them, and what's living in you. You want to be released of it." The old people in the Netherlands sometimes said, "As long as you are not converted, you follow the world. But when you are converted, the world follows you. Sinful world, full of vanity." So here, in this part of the word, with the world is meant the people of the world, everybody who doesn't belong to the kingdom of God really. Everybody who is not born again. For when you are born again, you don't belong to the world. You are in the world. You must go through the world. But you are not of the world. You belong to Christ. And your conversation is in heaven. And your name is written there. And your treasure is there. And your future is there. Eternity. You seek the things which are above, not the things of the world. That's a new life. That's a new part. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And everybody who's born again knows that. Feels the difference between the old man, the world, and the new man. And the fight is there. Every day, your whole life. But it's the good fight. Well, when you belong to the kingdom of God and are not of the world, like Christ is not of the world, then you can be sure, totally sure, the world shall hate you. I saw such a beautiful example in a book which you know, hopefully, all. Did you read it already, my young people? Do you know it already, my young friends? What book? I think it's one of the most beautiful books after the Bible. And it was the first Christian book which I read when the Lord came in my life and I was 17. The Pilgrim's Progress. I hope you all read it. Again. It's a beautiful book. And then you know that Christian and faithful on their journey to the celestial city. Beautiful journey. On that journey they were. Are you on that journey too? They had to go to a town. Vanity town. That's not such a nice name. I don't know towns here with that name. You know? Yet they can have all that name. Vanity town. And there was the whole year a vanity fair. There you could live.
There you could enjoy. There you could laugh. There it was nice. Cool. What they say here.
For the people of the world. They organize a lot to forget that they have a soul. That they are on the way to eternity. That they are on the way to hell.
Devil likes that. That you forget it. Don't think about it. Enjoy yourself in the world. Well, the writer tells us the town is lighter than vanity. Everything which is sold is vanity. Everything.
My boys, you pay attention. Everything is vanity. Empty. Void. Do you feel that? May you try to enjoy in worldly things. It's vanity. It doesn't bring me closer to God. More far away. A man who's not of the world feels that. What's vanity? Empty. Only God can fill you. Only Christ can fill your heart. Only the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit gives you the true delight and pleasure. That's true, isn't it? All the Lord's people know that. The difference between vanity and the fullness of divine glory. Love, the fruits of the Spirit, eternal treasures, forgiveness, peace. Nothing can be compared with that. Do you feel that? Christian and faithful, they had to go through that vanity town and that vanity fair. And they explain us what you can find there a lot. Houses, lands, trades, places, honors, promotions, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, delights of all sorts, wars, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and what not. Every pilgrim on the way to the celestial city had to go through this town. But Christian and faithful attracted intense interest of the inhabitants of this vanity town. Why? There was a great difference between them and the people of vanity town. The difference was in their garments. Sometimes you can see that. But here is not really meant what you maybe think. Maybe you think a Christian must be clothed according to the word, my young girls, so that nobody can get bad feelings because you are not covered well. That's very clear in the word, and that's true. It's worldly to have yourself so much uncovered. It's terrible. May you give occasion that other guys look to you girls, oh, what a nice girl, and get lusts, bad lusts. That's terrible. That's sinful. That's worldly. We are no Muslim, but sometimes I think we can take an example at a Muslim young woman. They have their body covered. I don't say that you must be clothed in the same way. But the idea, that's biblical. But that's not really meant here. It's true too. But they attracted intense interest by their garments made out of material which could not be found there. My dear children, do you maybe understand what kind of garments? Garments which cannot be made in Vanity Town, in the world in which we live. Do you remember the story with which I ended yesterday? That beautiful girl, so well dressed and beautiful. Everybody said, "Oh, you are so nice." And then she cried, "I'm not beautiful. I need the garments of righteousness. I must have the robe of Christ." That was beautiful. That was meant here. The righteousness of Christ as the covering of all your sins. So that you are ready for the wedding. The garments of the righteousness of Christ given unto you, my dear child, by the Holy Spirit, so that you by faith experience Christ died for me. He took away all my sins, and He creates peace in your soul. Mom, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Why, my child? I have peace. Is that possible? Of course. Of course. When you are 16 and you have the most happy moments in your life, because the Lord gives you the garments, you don't find it in the world. When you look internet, when you hear worldly music, no, never. But when you are hearing the word and crying to God, well, that was Christian and faithful. All true Christians, they know something of it. By the grace of God, they have a better thing. Well, they attracted intense interest also because their speech. They spoke another language. I know by experience how difficult the language can be. But all God's children, born again, born from above, speak the same language. And also when they cannot understand one another here, yet they understand one another. Feel. I once heard that of the Dutch immigrants in Holland, here Holland, Michigan, there were two very godly women. But one of them came from Zeeland and never learned any other dialect than the dialect from Zeeland. The other came from Drenthe, the northern part of the Netherlands. And she never learned normal Dutch. She only spoke her dialect too. And they couldn't understand one another, two Dutch women, godly women. And yet they felt a tie and a love in the Lord. Some simple words were enough to let them feel. We speak the same language. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, a soul crying for God and hungry for the righteousness of Christ, seeking the things which are above. One people, one work of God, one love which unites the true church of all ages and all nations. And they were speaking about the things which are really important. We often speak so much about things which are not important, or are even sinful, or are slandering other people. Evil talk, so often. But we must realize that when we are not of the world, our language must be not of the world. And there was a great difference. And the third thing was, they kept their gaze upward. And they were much tempted. Buy, 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 come, 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 it's so nice. But they put their fingers in their ears and said, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. That was Christian and faith. Beautiful, isn't it? Not? Not beautiful? Strange? It's not strange. It's strange when you think it's strange. For then you are not on the right way. Then you are of the world. When you are not of the world, you say beautiful. That's the way. Enmity. You know, maybe Christian and faithful in Vanity Town were sentenced to death. The deadly hate. Christian could escape and got a new friend, hope. And faithful gave his life. He was a martyr. That time can come, my young people, you are young. And I'm totally sure, I'm not a prophet, but I'm totally sure, when you have my age, you live in a total different world than the world is still existing. Totally different. The beast, the world, in his terrible outlook, in his enmity, we go to a time very quickly that's not permitted to live according to the word, to speak according to the word, to preach according to the word. Not permitted, forbidden. You are crazy. You are from centuries ago. You are not from this time. That cannot permit it in this time. For this time is the time of the beast. That's coming, that's coming. Before the Lord Jesus comes, it's coming. Not of the world. The Lord spoke in the beginning, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Enmity. Do you experience that in your own life already? There. In your own family. In your own family. One of my best friends, he's an evangelist in Belgium, and he told me about his father, a godly man, a truck driver. And when he was driving with his truck, driving back, he didn't see the little child. He killed the little child. From a family, no church going, no believing at all. But he was much, much worried about it. Thought, now I am the cause. It was not his guilt, but I am the cause that a little child of 6 years old is lost for eternity. And he was wrestling at the night, the whole night, with that child. And his place in eternity. And then the Lord revealed him, this child is not lost at all. This child is bought with the blood of Christ and renewed by his spirit. And he got such a joy in his heart and a unity with that little child, that little boy. And he visited parents, non-believers, so as many, many people in the Netherlands, knowing nothing about God. But they said to him, We never, never could understand our child. It was such a strange child. He cried so often. He was so tender. He was so loving. And when he saw bad things, he couldn't have it. It was such a strange child. That's what his worldly parents were saying. But my friend's father rejoiced, for he heard what the Lord had revealed him. This was a child of God, a lily among the thorns. That's the church. Are you a lily among the thorns? In your own family, is there the enmity? That you love the Lord and you want to warn your brothers. Do you know a story, my young people? Joseph! He saw the evil. He told it his father. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. And they sold him as a slave. I will put enmity. The Lord Jesus himself and his brothers did not believe in him. They mocked with him. David, nobody was really worried about God's glory when Goliath was blaspheming God. David, but what did his brothers, do you know it, my children? They were mad on him. Enmity in his own family. I will put enmity. When you love the Lord and your brothers and sisters not, you shall feel it. Enmity. Be warned. When you hate the child of God, be warned. Be warned. In your marriage, husband and wife, yes, I often saw that in my ministry. More than once the Lord blessed my ministry. That one of the couple became converted and the other became sometimes mad, wanted to divorce. I didn't marry such a woman. Nothing is permitted. We have no life anymore. Earlier we could enjoy our life. We went out and we entertained and we lived as everybody. And now, that more than once happened. Enmity between husband and wife. What a blessing. Young people, do you seek a girlfriend or a friend to share your life with? I want to tell it here again. You know it already. Most of you heard it already. But it was beautiful. And therefore I repeat it. You know that not long ago we had a wedding, Brian and Lene. And maybe when you was in the church, you remember that I said to Brian, when I addressed them, Brian, do you want to become happy with Lene? I think so, I said. But you can only become happy with Lene when you truly can say, Lene, of all the women in the world, I love you the most. But I love Christ more. And then I addressed Lene. You remember? Lene, do you want to become happy? Then you must be able to say, Brian, of all the men in the world, I love you the most. But I love Christ more. And now the most beautiful thing. Afterwards they told me, when we didn't know one another, had not a relation at all, we both were praying, Lord, Give me a husband. Give me a wife which loves thee more than me. Is that not beautiful? Then you have a happy marriage. Happy married. That's a blessing. But often it's very different. Jacob had not a unity with Rachel. Solomon, terrible. You see also in the Old Testament, when the institutions and the commandments of the Lord are broken, there is no blessing. There is no peace. David. Warnings, warnings. Michael. She was mad on him when he was full of the joys of the Lord. When he was dancing with his people in a heavenly joy. And she was looking out of the window and she was mad on him. She despised him. Is that a king? Yes, that's a king. That's a king. Enmity your own marriage in the church. You can expect it. You cannot make a church and a denomination where you can escape it. The devil is creeping everywhere. Where people are unconverted. That they are not united with Christ. Call them NRC. Call them pre-reformed. Call them RCA. Doesn't matter. There is the world. Nothing more. Nothing more. There is the enmity. There is the fight. There is the struggle. It's one of the two. You are not of the world. The world, I told you yesterday, is very religious. The more religious, the more dangerous. The more full of enmity. Take people of their faith. You can better take their money. They become mad. They shall kill you. I see time is going quick. So I must continue. In all the parts of society, you can expect enmity. Enmity, enmity. I will put enmity. What is it? The hate of the world.
Or some, maybe you think, say, Pastor, is it so bad? I don't experience that in this way. Unconverted people, they are so nice often. Yeah, I have the same experience. Sometimes more nice than church people. That's true. But you make a mistake. Church people, unconverted, are exactly the same as world people, unconverted, basically. There is no difference. But in the church, also when people don't profess to know Christ, they can be nice. That's true. I know. And there is, it's a blessing too, but not the blessing, natural love. And there are a lot of protections by which enmity cannot break out. That's a blessing too. For when that's disappearing, natural love, then the earth seems to be in hell. And sometimes there are also churches. Very strict churches. Where people hate one another. I know a lot of examples. I went through terrible split. And I'm not better than anybody. But what I saw, I don't want to tell it you. Is that a church? The world cannot be worse. I've been chairman during 10 years of a political party in the Netherlands. Most strict reformed. And I often cried in myself. In the world and the socialist parties, it cannot be worse than among us. World. You cannot escape. It's everywhere. What is it? I mentioned some things. They don't understand you. There can never be a unity. It
sometimes happen that you don't know people. You never met them before. But they are true Christians. I can mention a lot of examples. I do it not, for the time is nearly gone. But with some words, you have a unity. You cannot make it. But it's the communion of the saints. It's the love of Christ by which you are united. When you love the Lord, you love his people. That's one body, that's one. Cannot be separated. But you never can have that. When you meet a person who doesn't know Christ, is not born again. They speak in a religious way. They speak biblical. They learned it by head. But they don't know it really. Nothing, nothing. Except a man be born again. He is blind, he is dead. For spiritual things. He has a good memory. He can produce nice words. He can be enlightened. But he shall never, never understand what it is to miss God. To cry for the living God. My soul thirsted for God. You remember the sermon of Sunday morning? The living God. Only my soul can be filled with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the church. That's the living church. Which doesn't belong to the world. Which hated by the world. Because they hated Christ. They crucified Christ. You cannot expect to behave better. For a servant is not better than his master. Well, you never have the same pleasure. A worldly man shall never have a real pleasure in God, in divine things, in his glory. And when you don't belong to the world, you have a pleasure in it. Read tonight Psalm 1. My young people, I want to ask you. I was in jail last week. I asked one of the guys, what's your favorite psalm? He wanted to the book of Psalms. What's your favorite psalm? I said, we shall read that psalm. And I shall try to explain it to you. He said, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. The delight in the law, in the word of God. They never have the same goal. For when you don't belong to the world, you have a goal. The glory of God. Eternal life. When people want to keep their Christian in the beginning of his journey, he put his fingers in his eyes and he ran away. Life, life, eternal life. That's my goal. That's the goal. I give my sheep eternal life. But a worldly man, also when he is strict, religious and reformed and belongs to a very strict and pure denomination, he shall never have that goal. You have not the same feelings. You cannot share your feelings. You try to tell it. You open your heart. But it doesn't work. It doesn't come together. It's not understood. It's not one. And they have not the same future. As long as you live in your sin and serve the world, also in a religious way, your end is so terrible. So terrible. My dear young people, be warned. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. For the world perish away. And within soon time we are at the end. What is 80 years in light of eternity? Nothing. Eternity. Eternity. Eternal lost. The man of the world. He enjoys his life. He has his face. He has his pastor. He speaks him in heaven. Shall not help. Except a man be born again. United with Christ by true faith. That's the only way. And then we shall be with Christ. to be far the best. I have a question. Is there any? Has there been one moment in your life, my young people, older ones too, that you really, really, really wanted to be with Christ? That heaven was more attractive than 1,000 words. I have a question for you, and give an honest answer. For when heaven is more, the earth is more attractive, you have to fear that you are a man of the world. When heaven never was more attractive, never. I don't say that the Lord's people is all the time in that place, but it's the best place. When you can say with the Apostle Paul, I wish to be with Christ. And when the love of God fills your heart, you have no other wish. And you never can forget. Something of heaven on the earth. But in the eyes of the world, it's foolish. How can you escape the hate of the world? Is that possible? What must I say? It's not. But yet a lot of Christians try. How? To be silent when God's name is blasphemed. Don't say anything. To be silent when you see people on the way to hell mocking this God and you say nothing. Yeah. When you are a silent Christian. I don't know. I don't judge. Are you a Christian? I fear not, but you have no compassion for sinners on the way on eternity. I think they have their own responsibility, they have their own faith and opinion. I must respect that. That's the world. That's the world in which we live. We must respect one another. We must respect a Muslim, we must respect a Hindu, we must respect every denomination, we must respect the devil. No! Don't respect the devil. Only God in Christ must be respected, and his word. Of course, in wisdom, in love, in humility. Warning, not with a whole sermon, with one tear in your eye, with one word in love. I can mention you, I shall not do it for my time is gone, several examples that one word spoken in love was used and blessed by the Lord, for we totally depend on his blessing. But when we are living Christians and we are attacking the kingdom of darkness, then the king of darkness and his servants shall hate us. And when we are so quiet, when we do nothing, well, we do with pleasure. How shall the hate of the world increase? By being a true witness, friends, Christian and faithful. They were so totally different from the inhabitants of Vanity Town and Vanity Fair. They didn't like their goods. They didn't speak their language. They didn't wear their clothes. They were totally different. And therefore, they were hated so much. We don't want to see them, but we can expect that because you belong not to the world. World shall hate you because they hated Christ before you. What did they with Christ? They crucified him. The hate of the world came to a terrible high point at the cross. And what's the greatest, greatest wonder? That by the hate of the world, this is your hour and the hour of darkness. Devil, religion, society, government, they all work together in one hate against Christ.
Away with him. Let him be crucified.
It happened. And in the crucifixion of Christ, the love of God became perfect visible. And out of the cross flows that love in the hearts of enemies. The enmity is killed at the cross. Wonderful ways of the Lord. When you think and meditate about it, you feel you need eternity to admire the Lord, to glorify Him. The enmity of man, the love of God at the cross. There hing the Lord Jesus, mocked, naked, cast it out.
It is finished. The more the world shall hate you, the Lord shall love you. The more you shall experience the hate of man, the more you shall experience the love of your Savior. So don't be worried about it. Don't be afraid for it. For the Lord has to give you much more. And the more you shall win others for Christ, the more you shall be a blessing for another one, the more you shall be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that's our calling. I conclude with these precious words out of the last Bible book. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which in the midst of the throne shall feed them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. Let us now pray and thank. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for this meeting and this message. And give us all the grace to be a doer of this word. That we shall not love the world and accept the hate of the world, because we love Thee and follow Thee. O Lord, work mightily also by this word and the words of this day in the midst of us. That these messages shall not be a witness against us in the day of judgment, but that it then may appear that thy word has been blessed on this Friday. O Lord, we don't deserve it, but we cannot miss it. Be with us the rest of this day, bring us home safely, and make us ready for our eternal home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.